Welcome to McGuire on the Wire, where you'll discover top stories and strategies in specialty tax broken down by our experts. You'll also meet leaders from across the firm who will discuss McGuire Sponsel's approach to common challenges faced by our clients.
Hi, I'm Dave McGuire. Today I'm sitting down with Justin Gephardt to talk about the year ahead as it relates to specialty tax. It's been an interesting year as a lot of people with cost certification, R&D tax credit studies, they're all sitting around waiting for Build Back Better or some big tax initiative from the Biden administration. And as we're sitting here recording this, most of those look like they've stalled out. So this will be an interesting year to see where they all sit. There are some expired provisions that were included in the Build Back Better bill, including fixed to the amortization of the R&D tax credit, which, for those that don't know, under the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act starting in 2022, any expense that's considered a research-eligible expense is no longer treated as an expense and it has to be amortized over 5 years. That was really a budgetary thing under the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, and that was supposed to be fixed by now, including a fix that was included under the Build Back Better bill. Additionally, there's some other extenders bills that are kind of in limbo right now, and so we're waiting to see what will happen. As we're sitting here recording this, most people are thinking either there will be a tax extender after the midterm elections that will fix these retroactively, or potentially in a consolidated appropriations bill, which as of right now looks like it probably won't be done until sometime in March. So we're still really waiting to see where some of these technical corrections and some of these extenders play out.
Yeah, Dave, I think you bring up a good point with, you know, as we look at our alliance network, you know, I get the ability to travel around and visit with a lot of our alliance firms and kind of hear their pain points and how are they planning and attacking different situations. And as we look at the specific legislative piece, you know, what so much unknown, you know, for a couple months last year, people were, you know, whether on the fixed asset side, well, do we even do a cost segregation study? Because we're expecting rate hikes, you know, and we kind of walked them through the discussion on that piece on why it still made sense to explore a study. We've had other discussions, you know, on the R&D tax credit with the potential, you know, as it sits right now, the amortization of the R&D expenses. And where does that sit with the legislative updates? What it's looking like right now, and as Dave alluded to, you know, there's some potential changes down the road, but it's essentially been business as norm this tax season. We've seen clients that are needing to plan for very profitable years, you know, in the tax year 21. And so we're seeing a lot of these opportunities, whether it's through R&D or cost segregation or even our global consulting practice has seen a significant ramp up because of some of this stall. So I think a lot of these issues that we're going to talk about today between Dave and I, it's stuff that we're experiencing, but it's a lot of stuff that our alliance network, they're going through right now and some of the pain points that we all share in this.
And what's important to note is, as you kind of pointed out, Justin, not many things have changed or will change. There are some question marks right now. And as you mentioned, there were a lot of people thinking that tax rates were going to go up. We did see, even though the Build Back Better bill stalled, we saw that even with the Democrats holding a majority in the House and an equal representation in the Senate with the tiebreaker going to Vice President Harris, they don't have the ability to do wholesale tax changes. Right now, Sinema has basically said she will, Senator Sinema out of Arizona has basically said she won't go for any increases in tax rates. So we don't have to worry about that long-term increase in tax rates. So it gives us a little bit of an ability to plan. That combined, especially on the cost seg side, with this increased inflation we've been seeing over the last year, has, if anything, increased the value of a cost segregation study, because this inflationary pressure that we're seeing is making that timing difference that a cost segregation or a 179D study can create makes it more valuable for a lot of taxpayers. Now, we also have this question mark on the R&D tax credit. With that amortization I mentioned earlier, there's a question as to whether or not R&D tax credits will be viable in 2022. And I think most people have to remember that before the PATH Act of 2015, R&D tax credits were not a permanent fixture in the tax code. they were temporary every couple of years, and this was the situation we had to wait for. Congress has never let them lapse. And we need to remember that there are multiple bipartisan bills that have been put out there to fix it. So people worried about that really need to not be as concerned as they probably are, because that is almost 100% certainty of being fixed. The question really becomes, will Congress get around to doing their job and fixing these things before we get past the 2021 tax filing season? And that's still in question. There is a chance we will see it, like I said, within a Consolidated Appropriations Act, maybe in March, but there's also a chance we won't see any wholesale fixes to some of these expired provisions until after the midterms, which means we'll be well into the 2022 filing season before we know where some of these things stand.
Yeah, I think a lot of times when we talk on these legislative updates and trying to answer these million-dollar questions, you have to look at some of the intent behind the acts. And it's on both sides of the aisle of the support for allowing our country and empowering our country to remain competitive on a global marketplace. And I think the R&D tax credit falls within that, because our companies still need to invest and to be involved in those activities that would qualify for the R&D tax credit. So I think if you look under it with that intent, there's the ability for the R&D tax credit to stick around as it is there, because we still want to compete with China and Russia and put more significance on those advances in technology and processes and products.
And quite frankly, that's some of the only bipartisan things we're seeing through Congress right now. There's recently Congress passed the Bipartisan Competes Act. Now, it's still, as of we're recording this, it hasn't gone through the Senate yet, but that was really an act to try to work on the U.S. competitiveness with China. And that the Senate had another bipartisan bill that passed earlier in last summer that did something very similar. They behave a little differently, and they have to figure out the differences between the two bills, but it shows that there is a desire to make sure that the U.S. is competitive in manufacturing and R&D. Unfortunately, neither of those included a fix to the R&D tax credit, but hopefully we'll get to that relatively soon. On the international side, we saw that 15% global minimum tax that was really pushed at the G20 summit and some of the other things. Some people have really pushed back and said, we don't know where this is going to go in terms of the international. Once again, it's not something that we expect some large-scale changes on. Number one, they haven't passed it as a law in the U.S. Number two, even if they did, so many treaties that the U.S. is involved with would get wrapped up in that. And treaties can't be passed by a simple majority in the Senate. So we need to remember that even if that got jumped onto one of these bills, Build Back Better gets revamped or something else, and we see that 15% global minimum tax, that's not necessarily something that will even be able to fix without redoing a whole bunch of treaties that we have with other countries. So for businesses, they can rest easy knowing that most of these things won't change anytime in the near future.
Yeah, I think, again, going and talking with all our alliance firms, so you've got these multi-pronged issues coming in 22. You know, first is that, you know, are these legislative pieces going to be updated? And what is the timing of that? You know, I know there's the fear of, you know, a potential another extension out there. And then you kind of have this secondary prong that we're all experiencing is the labor force. And we've seen it across the country where masses of people have resigned or switched jobs, you know, a virtual workforce. You know, I've talked with many firms, you know, in the Southeast that have lost, you know, senior managers to firms that maybe are on the West Coast that are allowing them to work virtually but paying them West Coast prices. And it's something that is a real sticking point as firms are trying to navigate, you know, serving their clients with the best service while at the same time maintaining the appropriate amount of work to do so. So I think it's a situation where it's going to be interesting to kind of see how these legislative pieces and all this kind of combined, this big kind of, I call it kind of a pot of gumbo, just a bunch of stuff mixed in. How does it all unfold, you know, it throughout the year? And at some point, where's the tipping point with that?
And I think that's a great point that you make, Justin. The Great Resignation, as it's been called in the press, is something that's affecting how businesses are going to behave over the next year. It's going to affect whether or not CPA firms can hire just like any other firm, and it affects decisions that they might make. We've seen some very large CPA firms looking at not developing certain practices because they don't have the manpower to do it, which brings up firms like McGuire Sponsel that can provide some of these services at a level that they're used to providing for their clients. And so I've had conversations with firms that may have considered in the past trying to insource cost segregation or other services, and now they need to really look at outsourcing them to qualified providers. And I think the Great Resignation is going to continue that way. And it's something that CPA firms really need to consider, is where their profit margins are from and whether or not they can gain those from outsourcing just as much as they can from insourcing.
Yeah, I think obviously we have a credits and incentives team that deals with companies that are acquiring and relocating, expanding. And they deal with a lot of acquisitions. And over the last, I would say, 6 to 8 months, you know, the stories that they've shared about the kind of the background behind these acquisitions, you know, in the past it was about, you know, adding, going to a new market and adding other services. Well, now a lot of these acquisitions are just about adding staff. You know, they're acquiring other firms because they need more people in that level, you know, that senior manager level. So it's just, as our firm, you know, we deal in these specialty areas, but we see so many of the stories throughout the year of how, you know, the Great Resignation has impacted not only our world, I mean, but the accounting world, and how they're shifting and being more strategic with those mergers and acquisitions.
And it's going to create opportunities for the tax consulting we do on a daily basis. COVID started it, but the Great Resignation is also accelerating it even faster than it was with COVID, is the move to automation. Is companies are going to be looking at how to automate their workforces because they simply can't continue to hire. And a lot of things could have been automated in the past, but there's a tipping point as to what the cost is. If you can pay somebody $15 an hour, it may not be cost justified to automate that process. But if you have to pay that same person $30 an hour, now that automation might look more viable. That's going to bring up opportunities for the R&D tax credit, because they're going to be looking at new ways of doing things under an automated environment. They're going to be looking at how to use robotics to do this. They might be looking at the cost segregation side. They might be revamping their facilities in order to supply it. You see it right now with restaurants. I'm sure anyone listening has probably been to a restaurant during the last few years where they didn't have inside table service anymore because they can't have the employees, so maybe the drive-thru's open. Does that change how restaurants design going forward as it relates to cost segregation and other things? Do they design less seating inside because they simply can't have the business to have that anymore? And so it's going to be interesting to see how this change in the labor force affects some of the areas that we look at, whether it be cost segregation, R&D, the incentives practice. Do states start incentivizing more automated processes in order to get those, that tax base there, even if it's less jobs than they might have had in the past? A lot of these questions will have to be worked out over the next couple of years.
And as I look at, you know, the remainder of 2022 and how does that impact our firm and how does it impact our alliance network, I think it's going to require, and to steal a line from, you know, my good friend Sean King, it's going to require us to be there to support, not supplant, our alliance network. And as different needs arise, at, you know, whether it's, as you mentioned, bringing the typical model of for the bigger firms of having specialty tax in-house, now shifting towards, hey, we need help here because we don't have the ability to serve our clients with the same capacity. We're there to support them in that manner. I think the other piece, and Dave, I give you a lot of kudos for this, is we're also there to support on the technical side. There's a lot of moving parts nowadays. I feel like in the past, you know, 10 years ago, you'd have one major legislative act, and then it'd go quiet for a while. Now it seems like every 2 years, there's some new major piece coming through, and I go back to our PPP and the CARES Act and the number of hours you spend on that, but I feel like we owe it to our alliance network to stay on top of that, to help people digest all the information that's coming in?
I think it's I agree with you, is that it's, there's a lot coming in right now. But at the same time, with all that coming in, one of the things that people, when they're looking at these specialty tax areas, need to realize is they are relatively stable. Cost segregation, in times when people are concerned about increasing tax rates or things, people sometimes will not move forward with a study because they think their tax rate's going to go up. But what have we seen in the last year? Tax rates haven't gone up, but inflation's gone up out of control. So if people had pulled their money out earlier and not made those decisions, they'd be better off. So if they had just maintained course, they would have been better off. See, the same thing with R&D, is people are concerned right now with the amortization. But for those that have been in the industry a long time, they remember that this used to be the way things were, that we had to wait for tax extenders. And the stability is going to be there in those areas. So even in this time, as you mentioned, there are new court cases, there is new legislation almost every year, but these services remain somewhat stable, and people need to remember that as they're planning for the 2022 tax year, they can assume that these will be there, but they have to be ready for the external influences, whether it be the inflationary pressures, whether it be the job market, and plan for those, and just assume that these tax credits and these tax incentives will be stable going forward.
And Dave, you know, just to kind of wrap things up, you know, first, I appreciate everyone's time for listening to this. But you know, I think we all can agree it's going to be an interesting 2022 with some updates that are pending. And with the market, you know, from a labor perspective in flux. And so we're all in this at this point. I mean, we all had the same pain points. And so I'm excited about our future. You know, the next year, I think if you look at the growth within our area, there's a lot of abilities to help serve clients and to help them further their tax situation.
Thanks for listening today. Although many of you that have listened have probably heard Justin talk on many of these, and some people have heard me talk on many of these, but this is the first time that we've been together on one of these podcasts. So Justin, I appreciate being able to sit down with you today.
Absolutely. It was a good time. Thank you, Dave.
This has been McGuire on the Wire. Thanks so much for listening. If you enjoyed the show, be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts and follow us on social @McGuireSponsel to get more industry news and firm updates.